Welcome to this sermon podcast from Myo Baptist Church, and thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that God's Word will be an encouragement to you and a reminder that the Bible has all the answers to living a successful and fulfilled life. Again, thanks for listening. We now join the service in progress.
Thank you, ladies. That was beautiful. Brother Jason Lewis is at Camp Kobiak. He is the director of their Bible Institute. He is doing a fantastic job. He and Brother Aaron are a great team. I love their spirit. I think they are the best thing that's happened to Camp Kobiak, and our church stands behind them 100%. We're happy to have Brother Jason come and preach to us this morning. Brother Jason, you know, I'm still just kind of getting to know you. Tell us a little bit of your background and your history, and give us a quick autobiography, if you will, real quick, and
sure.
Then preach to
yes,
us.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Pastor. Well, good morning. I am excited to be here with you. I will do that. Let me introduce you to the parts of my family that are in here, right here in the front. This is my wife, Jayla. Just raise your hand, sweetie. And then right beside her is my daughter, Peyton. Peyton, raise your hand. Peyton is 9 today. But tomorrow, she'll be 10. So tomorrow's Peyton's birthday. She'll be in double digits tomorrow. Pastor, I don't know if that means I'm getting old. I don't think it does. I think it's just, okay, so it does. So we're so excited to be with you. I've been at Camp Kobiak since October of 2016, so it's been just a little over a year. I guess maybe 15 months, 16 months, something like that. And since I've been there, it's been so exciting to be able to dive into some of these ministries and just really to be able to see the Bible Institute move forward and continue to grow. We've got 28 students in our Bible Institute and our Bridge to Campus right now. And so when you add the interns and stuff that we have, we're sitting right around 35 college-age kids at Kobiak. And so that's a wonderful opportunity that we have to disciple and to mentor young people. Before I came to Kobiak, I was at the home church that I grew up in. I went off to college, and then I came back, and I worked on staff there for almost 10 years. We started there in 2007 and then left in 2016, and so we were there for nine and a half years. And I worked with the youth as well as Pastor Jamie and those of you that are in ministry. That was in Chesapeake, Virginia. That was at Temple Baptist Church. So I grew up in Chesapeake, Virginia, down south, which means we do crazy things like watch NASCAR and drink sweet tea, and that's what people do in the South. And so, I grew up in the church there, went off. I went to college at Maranatha and through some extenuating circumstances and a long string of events, our pastor that had been there a long time, he was diagnosed with dementia. And he had been there for 37 years, and it was very devastating to the church. And the church was really struggling. We had one staff guy, and he was working with the youth, and we were running about 300 people at the time, and so it was really tough. And so my wife and I prayed about it, and we decided to move back there and to kind of jump in on staff as really a layperson to start with. And then after a couple years, they brought us on full-time staff. And so that's kind of where we were before we came here, and we've been here since, and we're loving the ministry at Kobiak. I never thought, being in the local church ministry, that God would move us into a parachurch organization, certainly still in full-time ministry, but a parachurch organization. I just thought, I love the local church. Jesus' plan is for advancing his kingdom is the local church, and I just thought that's where I would stay forever. But God showed us that he was going to move us and shift us and grow us, and certainly that's what we're doing there at Camp Kobiak. There are worse places to raise kids than Camp Kobiak, I will say that. So you met my wife and my oldest daughter. I'm assuming there's a kids program going on because my youngest daughter is not in here. Either that or we need to send out a search party. But my youngest daughter is Kinsley. She's 7, and she's, I imagine, in the children's ministries. And then I've got a son named Jace. Jace is 17 months old, and Jace is in the nursery. And so if you go in there and look, he'll be the handsome one, the real handsome one that'll be in the nursery there. And so that'll be Jace. And so we're so excited about what God has done and what God is continuing to do in the lives of our family and the ministry there at Kobiak. I'll tell you just a few more things about the Bible Institute, but as I'm doing that, open to the book of Haggai. I have a lot to fit into a small amount of time, so we've got to do this. We've got to hurry, buckle up, okay? We're going to move quick, but the good thing is, being from the South, I have a tendency to talk quickly. So I'll go twice as fast, so we'll get twice as much information in, and we'll still leave here in half the time that this might normally take. Okay. We're so glad that the students are able to come here from Kobiak and from our Bible Institute. We're so glad for the support that you as Myo Baptist Church gives us and the love that you show us and how you're always willing and able to come and help with the different things that we do throughout the year. I've enjoyed getting to know Pastor McMorris and his wife and Pastor Jamie and the others at work. Good to know Casey and some of the other ones as I've begun to interact with them. And it's been good to get to know you. And it's been good to say that Myo Baptist Church is a friend of Camp Kobiak. It's good to know that we have a church that we can rely on, that we know has our back and our best interest. So here's what we're going to do. Haggai chapter 1. If you're not there yet, go to the book of Matthew and then go back a few. And that's the quickest way to get there, okay? Haggai chapter 1, we're going to read. We're going to read a few. And like I said, we're going to hit a good portion here. And it's going to be a fair amount. But I can promise you that when we get to heaven and we have to answer to God, God won't say, hey, you should have read less scripture and given more of your own thoughts. Right? I can assure you when we get to heaven that God will be pleased by the amount of Bible intake that we've had, by the amount of preeminence and prominence that we've given to his word. And so that's what we'll do today. We'll begin in Haggai and we'll read through a good portion. Pastor, I thank you so much. I understand the weight and the burden that you carry for this church and the fact that one day, guys, your pastor will give an account for this church, right? Your pastor one day will have to stand before God in how he helped you and how he ministered to you. So I pray that as you interact with your pastor, you remember that. And that's why, Pastor, I'm so grateful for the times that you'll be willing to give over your pulpit. I don't take that lightly. I just want to say thank you for that. Haggai chapter 1, let's begin reading. It says this. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Josedech, the high priest, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. By the way, when God says, consider your ways, you ought to be careful. You ought to think about what you're doing. Verse 6, ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. We see that again. Verse 8, go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste. And ye run every man unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. Father, as we open up your word today, and as we take time to try to draw truths out of this often overlooked book of the Old Testament, Lord, I pray that you would be with my thoughts and my words. Father, help me to accurately describe what you've put into my heart. Lord, I pray that I would do justice to what's in your word and never stray or veer from what you've said. And Lord, I pray that you would be with those listening today, that we would listen with ears that are ready to hear. And Lord, that we would leave here changed and more like you because of it. And we ask these things in Jesus' name, amen. And so we see here in Haggai, we're looking at the remnant that have come back from captivity. Okay, matter of fact, Haggai would have been a contemporary or semi-contemporary with Ezra and Nehemiah. And so to give you some context of where we are and what's going on in the world at the time, they've come out of captivity here in Babylon and they've begun to rebuild. And as they're rebuilding and as they're getting back into the city, Haggai here is encouraging them and is rebuking them that they have to rebuild the temple. But what's going on is, and you see some of these same things continuing to happen if you were to look into the book of Nehemiah, there are those from the outside that are coming in and they're trying to undermine what they're doing. You see, these Jews that were in captivity who have now come home, they're trying to undermine and knock the legs out from under these people who are trying to build up a city again. And what they find is that every turn, things aren't going their way. If you've been alive long, you will find that there may be a time in your life where you feel like things just aren't going your way. Have you been there? Have you been there where you think, at every turn and at everything I try to do, it seems like I take one step forward and two steps back. And so let me give you some encouragement this morning. When things seem like they're not going your way, when things seem like you're taking one step forward and two steps back, when they seem out of control, I want to give you four things from the book of Haggai of how you can maintain a godly focus. Number one is this. If you're a note taker and you want to jot these down, that'll be fine. If not, that's okay too. Number one is, we've got to keep the main thing the main thing. You know, when these Jews, these people who are God's chosen people, when they came back, they began to look at things that weren't the main thing. You see, the main thing in God's eyes and in God's mind was that they establish a place that they could worship. And we see that in the first 11 verses. God says, you live in your sealed houses. You have these nice houses that you've built for yourself. And my house, the place that you're supposed to meet with me, lies in waste. He said, because of that, I've withheld my hand from you. He said, because of the fact that you're looking upon your own matters and not the matters of God, because of that, you get money and it's like you put it into a bag with holes in it. You put on clothes and you're never warm. You take drink and you're still thirsty. You eat food and you're never full. Why? Because you've not kept the main thing the main thing. And you know, in our society, we live in this consumer-oriented society where there's so much, Pastor, that vies for our attention. Right? I mean, there are hobbies and there's this school things and there's activities and there's stuff, and then there's things that we just enjoy that we want to do. And you know what? In and of themselves, none of those may not be wrong. But if we allow them to be the main thing, then they take the place of God. They become an idol. You know, it's possible that there's things that creep into your life, and you may not know about them. You may not think, oh, it's not that big of a deal. It's just something. But when you really sit down and look at it, man, you've allowed that thing to take the place that God wants to have in your life. You know what? God doesn't want to be just an important thing in your life. God wants to be the central thing in your life. The most important, the preeminent, the prominent, the top of the list. But sometimes we allow things to sidetrack us. And here these Jews have come in and they've said, hey, you know what? We've got to build a market. We've got to build houses. We've got to have all these things for us to live. And God refused to give his blessing to that because they were not able to keep the main thing the main thing. Let me give you, say you can't remember the point. Let me give you a cute little poem that may help you remember. As you travel on life's journey, whatever may be your goal, keep your eye upon the donut and not the donut hole. You know, sometimes we find ourselves preoccupied and frustrated and upset about the things that are the donut hole. They don't matter. They're insignificant, right? And we lose track of the meatier things, the weightier things in our life because we're so focused on the parts of our life that ultimately, when we get to heaven, aren't going to matter a hill of beans. We say that in the South too. That's a hill of beans. That doesn't mean much, okay? Keep your eye on the main thing. Keep the main thing the main thing. If you find yourself, hey, I don't feel like God's blessing my life. I feel like things are hard. Maybe you should go back and just like God said to those in Israel, consider your ways. Analyze. Pick apart the things that you're doing. And do they please God? Have you kept the main thing the main thing? Let me read you a few more verses, beginning in verse 12. It says, then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people did fear the Lord. Verse 13 says, "Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, and the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, in the 24th day of the 6th month in the 2nd year of Darius the king." So here you found that they've been encouraged by the words of Haggai, and they've been given this fresh dose of wanting to do what God wants them to do. So number one, keep the main thing the main thing. Number two, obey and fear God. You know, as I had the wonderful opportunity for all those years to work in youth ministry, and often I would have a young person come to me and they would say, "Pastor Jason, I just don't know. I don't know how to deal with this situation. I'm struggling with this. I've got this thing that is just a burden to me, or it's weighing me down." And as you would sit down with that young person, as you would begin to pick things apart, you would find that they were not obeying God in His Word. And you see, they might want to know what the future holds. And Brother Jason, I want to know what college I'm going to go to. And I want to know who I'm going to marry. And I want to know. But yet, they weren't willing to do the things that God had already told them. You see, I've had young people ask me over and over again about God's will for their life. Do you know 90% of God's will for your life, He's already told you? Right here in His Word. Right? You say, "Brother Jason, I don't know if it's God's will for me to go to church." Well, the Bible says, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together." "Brother Jason, I don't know if it's God's will that I should really spend time with Him in prayer." Well, the Bible says that we should pray. The Bible says to not forsake it. "Brother Jason, I don't know what I should do, whether I should work or not." Well, the Bible says if you don't work, then you're not going to eat. You ought to work. You ought to have a job. And you start thinking about all these things in life. "Well, you know, Brother Jason, I don't know what my relationship with my wife should be like." I was in Pastor Jamie's class this morning. They were talking about that marriage relationship. Well, you know what? The Bible's very clear, isn't it, Pastor Jamie? The Bible says that I should dwell with my wife according to knowledge, and even says that if I don't do that, my prayers will be hindered. And so 90% of all the things that we should be doing, God's already told us in her word. In His Word, we've just got to obey God. And that's something that's so lost on this generation. Isn't it, Pastor? I mean, 50 years ago, we just did things because it was the right thing to do. And now we have to sit down and go, "I don't know. You know, I don't know if it's convenient. I don't know if the Bible really says that." I mean, for 2,000 years, that's what everybody thought it said. But now that we're in 2018, I don't know if that's what the Bible really says. How am I to know? You see, we've moved in this direction of questioning things and not just flat out obeying God, because that's what God said to do. You know, there are times that as I raise my kids, that I want my kids to understand why we have to do certain things. Right, I don't want them to understand why we dress the way we dress and why we don't watch the things that we don't watch. And I want them to understand all that. But you know what, Pastor? There's time when no just means no. And there doesn't have to be a, "Well, how come? I don't think that's fair." There comes a time where we have to just say, "Daddy said so." That's why we're doing it, because Daddy said so. And you know what? There's all kinds of things in the Bible that it's okay if you don't understand. We just do them because God said so. The Bible talks about the things that we deal with on this earth just being a light affliction. It's just temporary. So number two, we ought to obey and fear God. Number three, I'll just real quick, don't give room for discouragement. Let me read the first three verses of chapter 2. It says, "In the 7th month, in the 1 20th day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory, and how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes, in comparison of it, as nothing?" So let me tell you what the next point is, and then we'll go on and talk about it. Don't give room for discouragement. Here's what happened. There were people here that are saying, "We're working on this temple. We're working on the Lord's house. It's a waste. It's nothing like what it could have been, what it should have been. It's nothing like what it used to be." And you've got the naysayers. Aren't there always the naysayers? There's always those who say, "It's not good enough. It's not high enough. It's not low enough. It's not wide enough. It's not straight enough." There's always a naysayer, right? But the Bible says that we're not to give room, and I wish I had time to elaborate on that point to just build it out more. We can't give room to discouragement. You can't, as a believer, say, well, look at what God's doing in my life, but that's nothing compared to what he's doing in that person's life. Well, man, God's blessed me, but man, that's nothing like how God's blessed Pastor Jamie. That's just not fair. We can't allow room for discouragement in our lives. There's always a naysayer. There's always somebody that it looks like the grass is greener on the other side. Don't give room for discouragement. Let's move on to the last one. Verse 10 says this, and I would maybe normally read a good chunk of this, but we'll, for time's sake, we'll move on. Let's start in verse 11. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, ask now the priest concerning the law, saying, if one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with the skirt do touch bread, or pottage, or wine, or oil, or any meat, shall it be holy? And the priest answered and said, no. Then said Haggai, if one that is unclean by a dead body touch any of these, shall it be clean? And the priest answered and said, it shall be unclean. And now I pray you, consider from this day and upward, from before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord, since those days were, when one came to a heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. When one came to the press fat for to draw 50 vessels, there were but 20. I smote you with blasting and mildew, and with hail and all the labors of your hands, yet ye turn not to me, saith the Lord. Listen to this. Consider now from this day and upward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, even from the day of the fountain, that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, and consider it. Is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, as yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree hath not brought forth, from this day will I bless you. You see, what he was telling them is, before that, he gives them this illustration of when somebody in the temple is working with something and something unclean touches it, what's there cannot be clean. And what he's saying was, the impurities of the people have kept God's blessing from your life. He's saying, the things that the people were doing caused me to shorten my hand, caused me to keep from blessing you. So point number four, keep yourself pure. We've got to keep the main thing the main thing. We've got to obey and fear God. We cannot give room for discouragement. And above all else, we've got to keep ourselves pure. You see, we live in a day and age where purity, where separation and sanctification seems to be at times an impossibility. It seems to be something that's so difficult to do because literally we are inundated and we are surrounded constantly with wickedness. I mean, it's become absolutely acceptable in our society. Have any of you seen the, I think there's an advertisement, I think maybe it's a VidAngel advertisement, but there's an advertisement of how movies have changed over the last 50 years. And maybe you've seen it. There's a family there, and then they're watching Gone with the Wind, which had the first profanity in it that ever was in a movie. And then they get shot with a paintball. Does anybody have any idea what I'm talking about? Okay, a few of you. And then it goes on to tell about a movie that was out a few years ago that had like 3,000 profanities in the movie. And it was published, and it was put out in movie theaters. And it shows them getting shot with 3,000 paintballs. And it's showing the difference. It's trying to illustrate in our mind the difference between society 50 years ago and the society now. You know what, guys? You live in a society that it is absolutely difficult to keep yourself pure. But if you want to please God, if you want to feel like you're able to go, to continue to move forward in times where it just feels like everything's holding you back, you've got to keep the main thing the main thing. You've got to be willing to obey God. You can't give room for discouragement. And you've got to keep yourself pure. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And Lord, as we get ready and turn the service over to Pastor and we get ready to go our ways, Father, I pray that we wouldn't leave this place until we've committed and we've covenanted with God that we want to live for him. That we want to keep his word central and him central in our life. That we want to obey him. And Lord, that we want to keep ourselves pure and not give room for discouragement. Lord, I pray that even as I was able to speak from your word, that Lord, the words that you used made an impact on somebody's life. That there will be somebody in here who would say, I need to make a change today. The Bible has not been central in my life, or I've been discouraged, or I've been impure. Lord, that there was somebody that would set today as the day that life, their life would be changed. And Lord, I ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We hope that the service was a blessing to you and that you were encouraged by God's Word. If you have any questions about Myo Baptist Church, please contact us anytime. You can find contact information on our website at myobaptistchurch.com. Thanks for listening.